Well, that was an exciting parasha reading, wasn't it? So much in there. And so much on blessings and curses. But I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go to the blessings and the curses. You know what they are. You've all heard them. Now, I'm going to speak to you today from the Ketuvah HaShalakim. And how many times did we read in the Ketuvah HaShalakim that they were blinded, their eyes were blinded, etc. And we're going to look at that and see what you can see when we finished it, and hopefully your spiritual eyes will be opened. And that's what my aim is today. I don't need my spiritual eyes opened here because this print is so small. Let's see if it opens up. It doesn't come up any bigger. Okay, not to worry. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for our word today. And I just pray that the word that you've given me to present, that it will help everyone be encouraged to see in the spiritual realm rather than what is in the natural and what's around them at this time. Abba, we just pray that these words bring life and health to all people. In Yeshua's name, amen. So I'm going to start with Matityahu, which we've already read, from Matityahu 13, 10 to 17. Then the Talmudim came and asked Yeshua, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" He answered, "Because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to them. For anyone who has seen something will be given more, so that he will have plenty. But anyone who has nothing, even what he has, will be taken away. So here is what why I speak to them in parables. They look without seeing and listen without hearing or understanding." This is the main gist of what I want to get across to you in being able to see. That is in the next slide. That is in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Yeshayahu, which says, "You keep on hearing but never understand. You keep on seeing but never perceive, because the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they barely hear. With their eyes they have closed so that as not to see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart and do teshuvah, so I could heal them. But how blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears because they hear. Yes, indeed, I tell you that many a prophet and many a tzaddik longed to see the things you are seeing, but did not see them, and to hear the things you are hearing, but did not hear them." And I'm going to tie this in with 2 Kings 6, 11 to 18. And we've done this before, but I want to tie these two things into you to help you understand. So we can go to slide 4, please. Here we go. And it greatly ups in Malachim Bait 6, 11 to 18. And it greatly upset the king of Aram. He called his servants and said to them, "Tell me, which of you is betraying us to the king of Israel?" And one of his servants replied, "It's not that, my lord king. Rather, Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words you speak privately in your own bedroom." Next slide. He said, "Go and see where he is so that I can send and bring him here." They told him, "He's in Dothan." So he sent horses, chariots, and a large army there and came by night and surrounded the city. The servant of the man of Elohim got up early in the morning, and on going outside, he saw an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. His servant said to him, "Oh, my master, this is terrible. What are we going to do?" He answered, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." Next slide. So Elisha prayed, "Yehovah, I ask you to open his eyes so that he can see. Then Jehovah opened the young man's eyes, and he saw there before him, all around Elisha, the mountain was covered with horses and fiery chariots. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed to Jehovah, "Please strike these people blind." And he struck them blind, as Elisha had asked. I want all of you here and all of you watching, listening today, to have your Ruachal eyes opened so that Yah can allow you to see what he is doing at this time. So we're going to go further through into Elisha's prayer for the servant to see the chariots of fire. See, we are in a time in this world when things are getting worse, with the G5s coming in, with the people wanting to attack us left, right and centre. Our freedom of speech is being stopped. But we have to get past what we can see in the natural and allow Yah to open our spiritual eyes, knowing that he is in control and he is going to let us see that he is in control. And this is what I want to get from today, because I think it's imperative that we understand that we have to trust Yah in every circumstance. And it's going to get harder, not easier. Now, Elisha was a tzaddik, or a righteous man, who could hear from Jehovah. And Yah revealed things to this prophet, whereas not many people could hear from Jehovah at all in those days. They weren't immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh like we are. But when a prophet was given words to speak, they were only temporary, and then they went away again. But Eliyahu and Elisha were a little bit different, because they could see like as if the Ruach was on them permanently. So today, it's no different. We have the blessing of immersion in the Ruach HaKodesh, and we can have our spiritual eyes opened. So many people who are immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh, they might speak in tongues, they might prophesy, they might do all those sort of things. And yet, when they're in trouble, they don't seek Yah for themselves. They'd rather come to a pastor or a leader, and I know they've come to me, and said, "What word has Yah given you for me?" And I'm not joking. They expect us to feed them what Yah wants them to hear. But that's not how it's supposed to be. Yah wants each of us to have such a strong bond and a strong relationship with him that he will speak to you every day. Not just occasionally, but every day. All day, every day. If you have that strong relationship that you want. And it's just a matter of getting into the word, getting into prayer, and he will do it. Elisha was a righteous man, so he could hear all the time. In fact, it was hearing from Jehovah that actually got the servant into trouble with the king of Syria. But the same Jehovah who could reveal things to him could also supernaturally preserve him and continue to use him despite his offences. When the armies came to capture him, he sent forth a blindness to their eyes, and they ended up in captivity themselves. So if we can go to slide 7, please. Thank you, girls. In Yochanan John 9:39-41, Yeshua said, "It is to judge that I came into this world, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do not see might those who do see might become blind." Some of the Perishim nearby heard this and said to him, "So we are blind too, are we?" And Yeshua answered them, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But since you still say, we see your guilt remains. The parallels, that parallels this thought of Elisha opening the eyes of his servants, but blinding the eyes of the enemy. Yeshua's eyes were opened, his Talmudim's eyes were opened, but the Parashim were the enemy. They were the ones who were blinded and couldn't accept Yeshua for who he was. So I want you to think of this picture of opening the eyes of some while blinding the others when we read the following scriptures. Let's go to Matityahu 13, chapter 13, verse 12. For anyone who has something will be given more, so that he will have plenty. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away. The servant was one who learned from Elisha, and when he fretted about trouble and the persecution from the Syrian armies, Elisha prayed for his eyes to be opened. While the servant could already see, like Yeshua's word said, for anyone who has something will still be given more, the servant was gifted then with seeing more. And the sights of the enemy he saw were removed, as Yeshua said, but for anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away. Now Sheol does the same thing Elisha did with his servant when speaking with the Ephesians. So if we can go to slides 9 and 10, please. In Ephesians 1, 15 to 20. For this reason, ever since I heard about your trust in Adonai Yeshua and your love for all Yehovah's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. In my prayers, I keep asking the Elohim of our Adonai Yeshua the Messiah, the glorious Father, to give you a spirit or ruach of wisdom and revelation, so that you will have full knowledge of him. I pray that he will give light to the eyes of your hearts, so that you will understand the hope to which he has called you. What rich glories there are in the inheritance he has promised his people. And how surpassingly great is his power working in us who trust him. It works with the same mighty strength he used when he worked in the Messiah to raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heaven. Now Sheol prayed for us to see, just as Elisha for his servant did to see. And there's something very wonderful about Sheol and Elisha's comparisons. The very thing that Elisha prayed for his servant to see was the very thing Elisha was blessed to see when Eliyahu left. And if we go to Malachim Bet or 2 Kings 2, 9 to 12, we'll see this. After they had crossed, Eliyahu said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away." And Elisha said, "Please let a double share of your spirit be on me." He replied, "You have requested a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, you will get fiery chariots with horses of fire." And as it separated the two of them from each other, Eliyahu went up into the heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel." Then he lost sight of him. Seizing his clothes, he tore them in half. And in Malachim Bet 6:17, it says, Elisha prayed, "Yehovah, I ask you to open his eyes," that is his servant's eyes, "so that he can see." Then Yehovah opened the young man's eyes. He saw there before him, all around him, all around Elisha, the mountain was covered with horses and fiery chariots. So it's there. He could see it once his eyes were opened. This occurred with Eliyahu and Elisha just after they'd crossed the Yarden River, after Eliyahu urged him to stay at the places, several places beforehand. But Elisha wouldn't stay back. He wanted to go all the way with Eliyahu. And Elisha's prayer for his own servant's eyes to see the chariots of fire also occurred right after Elisha was at the Yarden River with a group of his Talmudim, or students when the axe head swam. So this new servant of Elisha was a true Talmid. He was a true student who wanted to see and experience the supernatural, as was experienced at the Arden with Elisha and Eliyahu. And he saw the chariots of fire that Elisha saw take Eliyahu up. The very sort of chariot of fire lifted Eliyahu from the world were all around Elisha in the world at that time. And Elisha's servant was prayed for that he might also see this. This is not the sight one sees with our regular eyesight. We need to have our spiritual or ruachal eyes opened so that we can see the supernatural. Shaul also prayed that we might have that same power that raised up Mashiach and set him up in heavenly places. The message of Apostle Shaul is a very further revelation that we must also receive. Not until Shaul came along did Yehovah show more revelation to the Messianic community. Can we go to slides 13 and 14 and Ephesians 3, 1-6? It is a consequence of this that I, Shaul, am a prisoner of the Messiah Yeshua on behalf of you Gentiles. I assume that you've heard the work Yehovah in his grace has given me to do for your benefit, and that it was by a revelation that this secret plan was made known to me. I have already written about it briefly, and if you read what I have written, you will grasp how I understand this secret plan concerning the Messiah. In past generations, it was not made known to mankind, as the Ruach is now revealing it to his emissaries and prophets, that in union with the Messiah and through the good news, the Gentiles were to be joint heirs, a joint body and joint sharer with the Jews in what Yehovah had promised. Shaul says the apostles and the prophets of the Messianic community were all receiving the revelation at that time. Kepha even said Shaul was getting things from Yeshua HaMashiach. In slide 15, in Kepha Beit, 2 Peter 3, 14 and 15, it says, therefore, dear friends, as you look for these things, do everything you can to be found by him without spot or defect and at peace. And I think of our Adonai's patience as deliverance, just as our dear brother Shaul also wrote, following the wisdom Yehovah gave him. Both Shaul and Kepha were concerned for the Messianic community, and they were concerned that they would be seen without spot or defect, and were blameless in respect to their behaviour in relation to the word of Yehovah. And that is our aim for this congregation, and it always has been. So Shaul spoke this in Ephesians 1-4. In the Messiah, he chose us in love before the creation of the universe to be holy and without defect in his presence. Did you notice when each and every one of us was chosen? We were chosen before creation. We were all purposed, everyone sitting here, everyone listening or watching online. We were all purposed for this era. Not for our ancestors' generations, or for our children's and grandchildren's or great-grandchildren's to come. We were purposed for now. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are Yehovah's making, created in union with the Messiah Yeshua, for life of good actions, always prepared by Yehovah for us to do. All those chariots of fire around Elisha that the servant suddenly saw represent the power of Yehovah towards us. And it's that same power that raised Yeshua and set him in heaven. Eliyahu represents Yeshua, and Elisha represents Shaul and his message to us today. We can see Shaul's thoughts in many places where Yeshua's words are in the Gospels. But the truth is that the enemy is afraid we might come to Sheol's revelation of Yeshua, that our oracle eyes will be open to see that the power that raised Yeshua HaMashiach is now on us. HaSatan does not want us to receive this revelation. Can we go to slide 17? In Ephesians 1, 4-6, it says, in the Messiah, he chose us in love before the creation of the universe to be holy and without defect in his presence. He determined in advance that through Yeshua the Messiah, we would be his sons and daughters, in keeping with his pleasure and his purpose, so that we would bring him praise commensurate with the glory of grace he gave us through the Beloved One. Yehovah pre-planned way back at the beginning of the world that we would be without blame, so that we would bring his praise commensurate with the glory of his grace. In other words, Yehovah showed Sheol the grace of Yehovah that was so glorious that he put his power upon us according to the power he used to raise Yeshua up into heavenly places. Our lives need to be that praise and the glory and show that kind of grace. But we cannot be the praise of the glory of his grace if we cannot see the riches of it all. We have to be able to see it. Let's go to Ephesians 1 and verse 7. It says, and in union with him, that is Yeshua, through the shedding of his blood we are set free. Our sins are forgiven. That accords with the wealth of his grace. Sheol says we need to recognize the richness or wealth of Yehovah's grace over us. We have to live according to that grace. We can't be poor me. We can't have pity parties. There's no room for that. We have to look at ourselves with the grace of Yehovah upon us permanently. In Ephesians 1, 17-18, it goes on to say, the Elohim of our Adonai Yeshua the Messiah, the glorious Father, to give you a ruach or spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you will have full knowledge of him. I pray that he will give light to the eyes of your hearts, so that you will understand the hope to which he has called you, the rich glories that are in the inheritance he has promised his people. We are to claim that inheritance. We are to reclaim that richness. In Yochanan or John chapter 3 verse 3, it says, yes indeed, Yeshua answered him, I tell you that unless a person is born again from above, he cannot see the kingdom of Yehovah. And in chapter 3 verse 5, Yeshua answered, yes indeed, I tell you that unless a person is born from water and the Ruach, he cannot enter the kingdom of Yehovah. You cannot enter into something what you first cannot see. You see it and then you enter it in the literal sense. Seeing it is also learning about it, as in you understand or you comprehend what is being taught. In other words, you need to become aware of how much power is in your own life. Entering it into that power is also experiencing it. So it's something planned from the foundation of the world. It's given to you while you walk on this earth. Can we go to the next slide, please, in Ephesians 1, 10-12. I will put into effect, when the time is ripe, his plan to place everything in heaven, on earth, and under the Messiah's headship. Also, in union with him, we were given an inheritance. We who were picked in advance, according to the purpose of the one who affects everything in keeping with the decision of his will, so that we who earlier had put our hope in the Messiah would bring him praise commensurate with his glory. This is our inheritance. We don't earn it. You never earn an inheritance. It's because we are members of Yehovah's family. Only his family can inherit it. How many know that heirs simply have to be part of a family to inherit? Very rarely is it anyone outside of the family that inherits. And that excludes works. We don't have to do anything for it. We're part of the family. That's our inheritance. It's ours. The only problem is that we've got to claim it. We have to be able to claim it. And it is speaking of a throne of power. Yehovah has shown us that in Matthew chapter 24, that all the end time discussion was actually fulfilled in 70 of this current era. Yeshua told the people standing there that they would see these things in their generation. And they did. While Matityahu 25 falls hot on its heels and speaks of the sheep and goats at the coming of wrath. Some get stumped here and think that's our future, but it's not. In Matityahu 25:34, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come on, come, you whom my father has blessed. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world.'" We are to inherit the kingdom prepared for us from the founding of the world. Sheol spoke of the power of Yehovah upon us at our inheritance. He spoke of Yehovah's plan for us from the foundation of the world in Ephesians 1:4. Unfortunately, many people have never seen the very thing Sheol portrayed for people to see because they do not realize these words of Yeshua speak of the power of the messianic community inherited to be without blame as planned from the foundations of the world. If we are without spot and blemish and we are as was planned, we are doing what we are doing. We're observing Shabbat. We're observing the festivals. We eat according to Leviticus 11. We can't do what was done at the temple. We can only do because there's no longer a temple. But if we're doing everything according to the word, then we have the right of that power because we're obedient to his Yehovah's word. Eliyahu was raised up to heaven by chariots of fire. Elisha walked the earth with chariots of fire all around him, protecting him. This speaks of Yeshua HaMashiach, who was raised to heavenly places by the glory of the Father, and the same power that is upon us as we walk on this earth. Can you see what I'm getting at? It took Yeshua to glory and to put us on this earth while we are still mortal beings. And that, in fact, is what Sheol meant when he said in Romans 8 and verse 11, "And if the Ruach of the one who trusted Yeshua from the dead is living in you, when the one who raised the Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Ruach living in you." The Ruach, or the spirit that raised Yeshua up and away, is upon us to empower our mortal bodies. That is not talking about the rapture, because the very next verse shows us the benefits of having this Ruach quicken our mortal bodies or bring them to life. In Romans 8, 12 to 13. So then, brothers and sisters, we don't owe a thing to our old nature that will require us to live according to our old nature. For if you live according to your old nature, you will certainly die. But if, by the Ruach, you keep putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. The Ruach upon us is like the chariots of fire that carried away Eliyahu. It's the same Ruach that lifted Yeshua, and it is upon us to quicken our mortal bodies. so that we do not have to live after the flesh, but by the ruachal power mortify the deeds of the flesh instead. You all have fiery chariots with you. They surround you. They represent the power with which Yehovah raised up Yeshua from the dead. Yeshua said, "There is more abundantly given to those who have and believe." In Matityahu, Matthew 13 and verse 12. Slide 23. For anyone who has something will be given more. 13:12, I'm sorry. For anyone who has something will be given more, so that you will have plenty. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does has will be taken away. And look what Shaul says in Ephesians 3:19-20. Yes, to know it, even though it is beyond all knowing, so that you will be filled with all the fullness of Yehovah. Now to him who by his power working in us is able to do far beyond anything we can ask or imagine. Is he able to be able to do far beyond anything we can ask or imagine? So Shaul begs for believers to stay connected to Yehovah. And he goes on in the next chapter of Ephesians in 4:1. He says, "Therefore I, the prisoner united with the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." And further down in verses 11 to 15 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, he says, "Furthermore, Yeshua gave some people as emissaries, some as prophets, some as proclaimers of the good news, some as shepherds, and some as teachers. Their task is to equip Yehovah's people for the work of service that builds the body of the Messiah, until we all arrive at the unity implied by trusting and knowing the Son of Yehovah at full manhood, at the standard of maturity set by the Messiah's perfection. We will then no longer be infants, tossed around by the waves and blown along by every wind of teaching, at the mercy of people clever in devising ways to deceive. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in every respect grow up into him who is the head, the Messiah. This is the heavenly places seating we have with Yeshua HaMashiach. We have to grow up into his head. We need to come to the stature of Yeshua. In other words, we need to realize the power of Yehovah on Yeshua HaMashiach in his resurrection is upon us now as well. You are seated with him. That is like saying, come to his stature. Receive this ministry of the Messianic community until you see yourself with the same power on you that raised Yeshua, who raised him to the right hand now in the world. He raised him to the right hand of Yehovah, but he also raised you right now in this world in a mortal body. But Yehovah blinds those who reject his son, Yeshua HaMashiach. As the armies of Syria were blinded and taken into captivity, Yeshua said that which people have will be taken away if they do not receive his words. While believers do see things and know Yeshua saved them and set them free, Yeshua wants them to see more. But those who reject Yeshua, what little they do see, like the armies of Syria, will be taken away totally until they are captured by the enemy. Hasatan can capture in many ways. Next slide, please. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 6 and verse 1. In the year of King Uzziyahu's death, I saw Yehovah sitting on a high lofty throne. The hem of his robe filled the temple. And further down in verse 5, then I said, woe to me, I too am doomed, because I, a man with unclean lips, living among a people with unclean lips, have seen with mine own eyes the King, Yehovah Zevaot. Then Yeshayahu was cleansed. Yah showed him his uncleanness. Even then he saw more. He was then told in Yeshayahu chapter 6 verses 9 to 12. He said, go and tell this people. Yes, you hear, but you don't understand. You can continue to see, but you don't get the point. Make the heart of this people sluggish with fat. Stop up their ears and shut their eyes. Otherwise, seeing with their eyes and hearing with their ears and understanding with their hearts, they might repent and be healed. I asked Jehovah how long, and he answered, until cities become uninhabited ruins, houses without human presence, and land utterly wasted. Until Jehovah drives the people far away, and the land is one vast desolation. Now listen to Yeshua's words in Yochanan John 12:35. Yeshua said to them, the light will be with you only a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, or the dark will overtake you. He who walks in the dark doesn't know where he is going. And further down in verses 37 to 40, even though he had performed so many miracles in their presence, they still did not put their trust in him, in order that Yeshayahu the prophet had said might be fulfilled. Jehovah has believed our report, to whom the arm of Jehovah has been revealed. The reason that they could not believe was, as Yeshayahu said elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they do not see with their eyes, understand with their hearts, and do teshuvah, so that I could heal them. Israel rejected Yeshua and was blinded and taken into destruction 40 years later, like the Syrians were blinded and led into captivity in Shomron and Samaria. I'm sorry to say that they're still blinded. In Luke 17, 28 to 30, it says, likewise, as it was in the time of Lot, people ate and drank, bought and sold, planted and built. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. That is how it will be on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Recall Lot. Now the men of Sodom were homosexuals. And that's where we get the English word sodomy from. That's where it's taken. These men sought to take the angels of Jehovah and lay with them, when the angels came to rescue Lot from the destruction. And Jehovah literally pulled Lot and his family out and destroyed the kingdom with the Sodomites. And we read something in Romans that foreshadows this. This foreshadows. In Romans 1, 16 to 32. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the good news, since it is Jehovah's powerful means of bringing salvation to everyone who keeps on trusting, to the Jew especially, but equally to the Gentile. For in it is revealed how Jehovah makes people righteous in his sight, and from beginning to end it is through trust, as the Tanakh puts it. But the person who is righteous will live his life by trust. What is revealed is Jehovah's anger from heaven against all the unrighteousness and wickedness of people who keep their wickedness keep suppressing the truth. Because what is known about Jehovah's plan to them is plain to them, since Jehovah has made it plain to them. For ever since the creation of the universe, in his invisible qualities, both his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, because they can understand from what he has made. Therefore they have no excuse, because although they know who Jehovah is, they do not glorify him as Jehovah or thank him. On the contrary, they have become futile in their thinking, and their undiscerning hearts have become darkened. Claiming to be wise, they have become fools. And the next slide. In fact, they have exchanged the glory of the immortal Yehovah for mere images, like a mortal human being, like a bird, animals or reptiles. This is why Yehovah has given them up to the vileness of their hearts. Vileness of their lusts, I'm sorry. To the shameful misuse of other bodies. They have exchanged the truth of Yehovah for falsehood by worshipping and serving created things rather than the Creator. Praise be He forever. Amen. And this is why Yehovah has given them up to degrading passions, so that women exchange natural sexual relations for unnatural. And likewise, men giving up natural relations with the opposite sex, burn with passion for one another. Men committing shameful acts with other men and receiving in their own persons the penalty appropriate to their perversion. In other words, since they have not considered Yehovah worth knowing, Yehovah has given them up to worthless ways of thinking so that they can do improper things. They are filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed and vice, stuffed with jealousy, murder, quarrelling, dishonesty and ill will. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of Yehovah. They are insolent, arrogant and boastful. They plan evil schemes. They disobey their parents. They are brainless, faithless, heartless and ruthless. They know well enough Yehovah's righteous decree that people who do such things deserve to die. Yet not only do they keep doing them, but they applaud others who do the same. Not much different to our world, is it? The book of Romans speaks of the revelation of salvation. It speaks of people who believe will see the righteousness of Yehovah revealed upon them. But the ones who hold truth in unrighteousness are people who know better but reject it. And Yehovah takes away what they can see and makes them blind. In other words, he gives them over to the reprobate mind to do the things that nobody would ever do otherwise. And they know that what Yah said about judgment, but have pleasure in what brings it, and those who do them, and in those who do them as well. They are blind. So let us appreciate what Yehovah has shown us through his word and seek to see more and understand Sheol's message by living a life to the praise and glory of Yehovah's grace. If you can truly see Yeshua risen, you will see his power on you. If Elisha could see Eliyahu when he left, he would have the double portion. So let me finish with these last two scriptures in Yochanan, John 1 and verse 15. Yeshua answered him, "You believe all this just because I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." And in Yochanan 14 and verse 12, "Yes, indeed, I tell you that whoever trusts in me will also do the works I do. Indeed, he will do greater ones because I'm going to the Father." Yeshua said it. I believe it. That settles it in my eyes. I will see and do greater things than Yeshua. Can you all say that? I will see and do greater things than Yeshua. Hallelujah. You know, we've got to believe it. We've got to get it into our minds. We've got to get it in our systems. We've got to believe that Yah will open our eyes so that we can walk in his power. And I pray that for each and every one of you and those listening online. Let us now go to the remembrance service.